as I was saying, the reason why this is so fundamental is because, number one, it is really the basis, not just for Pesach, but also for our everyday lives. And the Ramban is going to ask a tremendous question, and then he's going to answer it in a way that that really is something that I've tried to stress in Nightshir many times this year. And I really think it's extremely important. So the reason why I waited till now to do it is because of its connection with Pesach. But the reason why it's fundamental is because of how it relates to our lives every single day. Where it appears is at the very end of Parshas Bo, where the Ramban talks about tefillin, which we saw once, the Ramban explanation of what tefillin is. And then at the end, I excerpted from the end there, where he starts with the following question. He says, and we'll read it together, the Atah.
And now,
good. And now, Omer lecha klal betam mitzvos rabos. The Ramban says, I'm going to give you a reason for why we have so many mitzvos. Not to say why do we have 613, but why, in fact, we have so many that relate to the exodus of Egypt. And he'll explain. In particular. He's going to discuss that. Okay? True question. Hine. So he's going to start all the way from the beginning of time. Hine. Me'es heyos avodah zarah ba'olam yimei enosh. When the world was first created, and for many hundreds of years, thousands of years, there was avodah zarah present in the world. The worship of foreign deities. And the whole world was confused. They were unsure what exactly to believe in. There are those who totally reject the notion of monotheism. They rejected God and they said that He doesn't exist. And there are those who said, even if there is a God, He doesn't necessarily involve Himself in the world. There's no such thing as divine providence. As David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, and they said, how do you know that there's Hashem who resides on high? And again, there are those who agree that there's Hashem, but He doesn't necessarily supervise the world. And there are those who attribute God's relation to the world as we to the fish. The fish of the seas, that they don't have punishment, they don't have reward, they have nothing. They just go about their lives, and nothing has any significance. And they say Hashem is He has abandoned the earth. Now, what happened at the time of the Exodus, and again, the Ramban's writing this at the very end of the episode of the Exodus, the end of Parshas Bo, which was the whole climax of the Exodus. What did God do? He revealed Himself to the fullest. And so the moment God did that, was He totally rejected, and He totally got rid of any of the notions that we just said. Any kind of notion that there's no God at all, or there's notion of God, but He doesn't involve Himself in the world, that all just became completely nullified. Okay? V'ka'asher yiyah mofes hahu, nigzar techila mipi navi, yizbar mimenu od amitas hanevuah. And when, now not only did Hashem reveal Himself, but by relating and by foretelling the events what would happen through Moshe and Aaron, He also proves another important aspect of the Jewish history, which that of prophecy. That God can say something to a person, and that person can then tell the masses, and then the event occurs. So then that proves that prophecy exists. That also happened at the time of the Exodus.
As opposed to like someone saying, like, I saw something.
Correct.
Like,
which we reject and reject the notion of which religion?
Well, like
Islam.
Yeah, like Islam and Christianity.
Right. They both say that God appeared to me and said this or did this.
But then what about Moshe?
Well, Moshe, what he said was, he said, God came to me, and they said, oh yeah, prove it. So he did the three signs. And then for every single Makkah, save three, he predicted what was going to occur in the coming days. And then it did occur.
And then God also...
He himself didn't know what was coming.
Moshe? Sure he did.
I didn't know that was coming.
God told him, go tell Paro that in 3 days from now, you will be struck with the Makkah of Dam. In 3 days from now, you will be struck with the Makkah of Arbet.
He You know, remember, remember Moshe didn't want to do the dunk. He had Aaron do it because he was saved by the water.
But in any of the events, Moshe foretold them, and that proved an important aspect of prophecy. Because God spoke to man, and man then revealed that secret, El Avadam, to his servants. What?
What are these three signs that he has to show?
Oh, what did Moshe show? He first turned a cup of water into blood, and then he stuck his hand in his shirt, and he pulled it out of Saras, and then the sticks become to a snake. Those are the three signs.
This
is he put it back in and it came out. Clean.
God's existence.
This was his proof that God spoke to him. Because like, Moshe's first claim on Hashem is Hashem, right after the burning bush, they're not going to believe me.
I'm saying, I think they believed, everyone at that time kind of believed in God, they just didn't know which God. So I don't think he wasn't really convincing them.
Yeah, they believe the Egyptians believe animals were gods.
I'm saying they were at least a step ahead of us, like, you know, ahead of us. In a way, you know, they
believed in something.
For us.
They believed in a deity.
They believed in
a
deity.
Right.
They didn't know what.
Right. V'lachem, Yomer HaKos of the Mosim, and that's why, regarding all the miracles, all the miracles in Egypt, it says, "Leman teida ki ani Hashem bekerav aretz." It says, "So that you will know that I am Hashem, not the Elio, not Bashamayim, but bekerav aretz, with you in the land." Lahoros al hashkacha, to prove divine providence. Ki lo azav osa lemikraim kedatam, because Hashem did not leave us to sudden happenstance and to a random occurrence as people had thought. The Amar Lamanteda Kila Hashem Aretz, in order that you should know that the Aretz belongs to Hashem. Lahoros alachidish kihim shalosh shabara me'ayin, to show you that Hashem is the creator of the world and He can create something from nothing. The Amar Ba'avor Teda ki ein kamuni b'chol aretz, and also the pasuk says so that you should know that there is no one like me on the land. Lahoros al yecholos, that proved that Hashem has the ability v'hu shali b'chol, and He rules over everything. Because until now, the Mitzrim specifically were totally in doubt, or they totally were rejected the notion of Hashem. And in through the miracles, and Rav Hirsch goes through this in depth, how each one proved a different aspect, or the groups of three of them proved different aspects. And the Ramban is saying they proved that Hashem is the creator, that he resides and he supervises. Because if not, then these signs would not give us the belief system in a creator and in eventually the entire Torah. So what the Ramban is saying up until now, the first third that we've gone through, he's saying, just to give a quick summary, is that through the miracles in Egypt, Hashem proved that not only is He around, hey guys, I'm here, but He also, through Moshe, proved or allowed for prophecy to be in existence. That now prophecy was a thing that they could believe in. Okay? So that was the great chiddush of Yetzias Mitzrayim. No other time before that, no other time after that, did God show Himself in the way that He did there. Okay, now we're up to what?
The
Mabul. Again.
Sounds like that don't just happen every day.
You're right.
The question is, why did Hashem do the same thing at all?
Why didn't He do the same?
He told Noah to build a table for the flood that was going to come.
Right. The difference between that and Mitzrayim is that was the destruction of the world.
Noah,
it wasn't to prove anything to anybody.
But Noah would listen to
him. It's a little different because God just wanted to kill everyone there, and God wanted to save everyone here. So.
Right. The whole point of it was Hashem wanted to keep power alive, wanted the Mitzrayim alive, and He wanted the world to hear about these events so that they can understand that, oh, there is, God does exist and that God does take action in the natural world. Okay?
And they always just do that over fear.
What do you mean?
Just the... You know? Start making all the clouds pray and just be like, I'm here.
That's okay. The truth is that's.
We know
that
God isn't like that. That's the whole point of Jesus.
Well, He was kind of like that at Har Sinai.
And that's just a midrash.
He spoke, and everyone's in the shamas left. Then He sent them back. Right?
there is a certain reason why God performed the miracles the way he did, and at the end of the Ramban, the real foundation of what he's saying, we'll get to that. Okay? Okay, now we're up to the part where it says Ba'avor in bold letter in the middle of the first column. Uba'avor, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo yasa osim ofis b'chol dor le'enei kol rasha o kofer. And because Hashem does not act in the way he did, like he did in Mitzrayim, in every single generation, to refute every single denier and every single wicked person. So therefore, because he doesn't do that, Yitzav osanu shenase tamid zikaron va'os la'asher ra'o'enenu. He therefore commanded us, via his mitzvos, to remember the event that occurred at Mitzrayim for all generations. V'na'atik ha'davar el b'neinu. And then we will then pass these traditions and these mitzvahs onto our own children. U'beinehem l'beinehem. And from their children to their children. U'beinehem l'dor acharon. And for all generations to follow.
They kind of lost effectiveness. Sort of.
Why?
Judaism, more people are leaving Judaism and coming to Judaism. Or staying in Judaism.
That's correct. However, that's not so much a result of these. That's more a result of the pull from, you know, secular society. Not so much that this is having a, this is failing to be effective, right? And Rabbi is going to, if you understand why we do these things, then you'll understand why it is that these things are why they're so prevalent in our lives. As he proceeds to explain, and if you eat chametz on Pesach, you receive the penalty of karis, which is an extremely harsh punishment. And the reason why it's so, why you get that punishment, is because you're essentially denying the fact that Hashem did what he did in Mitzrayim. And if you don't do Karban Pesach, you also get Karis. Okay, so now I'll summarize for you. Right, Saul, you asked the beginning. What are all the things we do to remember Egypt? So let's recount. Let's start from the beginning of our day.
Question, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So you know when you left Egypt, it was like, now we celebrate Pesach, right?
Yeah.
So how come nowadays when the Jews, the Holocaust were, what's it called?
Liberated,
they don't have a holiday from that?
Because we don't have the ability to go ahead and create new holidays. That's the whole controversy regarding Yom HaSavut.
We have Yom HaShoah.
Right, we have Yom HaShoah, but it's not like, we can have a day of remembrance, but we can't be Mechadosh, let's say, a mitzvah to do something on that day. Right. We don't have that. That's,
but we're not at that level yet.
Meaning that Hashem, when he created the Torah, he defined what the mitzvahs are going to be. And essentially, the mitzvahs that are accomplished at Yetzias Mitzrayim, they could also be used as a meaning we often can relate better to Mitzrayim by, or let's say Yom HaShoah or Tisha B'Av, by remembering more recent events.
But the Torah is always repeating itself. So the Holocaust could have been equivalent to the time in Egypt.
Right, but therefore we don't therefore need new mitzvahs to remember that. We already had the exit of Egypt, which was a greater exodus because it was the entire nation, not one group of people in one part of the world.
Significant amount of nation.
Right, a significant amount of nation. Was it the most of the Jewish people?
Have you ever read
The
Devil's Arithmetic?
Yeah, great book.
Yeah, kind of relates to the Holocaust.
To Pesach. Right, it's at the Seder that she goes, takes a nap or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, no, in Egypt, all the Jews were there except for that one tribe
that
tried to
destroy,
right?
Ephraim. But they died on the way.
But then they got
reincarnated.
Yeah. Regenerated or reincarnated?
They came back to life.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Saul, let's begin with the beginning of the day.
No question. Okay, wash your hands. Move on.
When you walk out of the door, you kiss the mezuzah.
Okay, we'll go a little farther. Yes, you walk out of the door, you kiss the mezuzah. Where did the mezuzah come from? Well, how about when the Jews, Shepherd the Karban Pesach, they put the blood on the door?
That's what's pushing it.
That's not pushing it at all. The source of the mezuzah comes from the fact that the Bnei Israel put blood on their mezuzahs when they left Egypt. And in fact, what is inside?
Blood on your eyes.
What's inside that little cloth? You know what's in there? A little piece of paper, a little cloth that has blood on it. And what do we say in Shema? No. The cloth has Shema. What do we say in Shema every single day?
Has to do with Moshe. Laman.
Ani Hashem Lokechem Asher Hotseisi Yosam Meret Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt. So the mezuzah is inherently related to the Exodus. Now you go upstairs to the base of Midrash and you put on your tefillin. And what's the source for tefillin? When we command these new tefillin?
Oh, it's. Yeah.
This exact parak. This is the Ramban's commentary on the mitzvah of tefillin. Because in tefillin, you have the same paragraphs of Shema. And Hashem, and about the Bechor, which was only significant because God killed the firstborn in Egypt.
That's how you connect to the footnote.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Bechor, is there going to be a CM?
Will there be? Yeah, you're doing it. No?
What?
Ezra Bari. He'll probably make a CM or doing one, because he's also firstborn. Yeah, that's the Esavari. And then you go ahead and you then in Davening you get up to Kriyat Shema. And in Kriyat Shema you say itself. Wow, that's already we know gone 45 minutes of a day. We've already done three big things. And then you go ahead and in Benching, in the second paragraph, No Dilakha Ashan Lakenu, Ashish Sanami Eris Mitzrayim, they said Odin, took us out of Egypt. And the house of slavery. I mean, you know, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa as well to bench. And then, what else is there?
That's only through breakfast.
And then at Maariv, you're going to do Shema again. You have an obligation to remember Mitzrayim morning and night, as Ravella said the other day. And Halacha shared. And then, you go through every single holiday. No, forget holidays. Let's start with Shabbos. Kiddush. Zeichel, let's see, Mitzrayim. Kiddush, Shabbos itself, is a remembrance of Egypt. Why? We discussed in other shiurim why. There are several reasons why. Because the hard work that we did in Egypt, the backbreaking labor, that ceases on Shabbos. And so Shabbos is therefore that day of remembering the Geula, because Shabbos is also a microcosm of Geula.
We didn't work on Shabbos?
No. We did. But for us in our daily lives,
we don't work on, just like we work throughout the whole week and then we rest, we think about like,
Mitzrayim, the Geula was exactly
being redeemed from
working and then being free from work.
It's just like on a smaller scale.
Exactly.
Wait, so why in Israel they don't work on Fridays? I mean, they protect the Shabbos, obviously, but wouldn't it be?
Plenty of places are open on Shabbos.
What?
Plenty of places are open on Shabbos. They're abbreviated hours because you got to prepare for Shabbos, but places are open.
I thought then there's no school on Friday.
Yeah, because you got to prepare for Shabbos.
So wait, what were you saying about tefillin?
In the box, inside the tefillin, both on your arm and your head.
Right,
there's four. There's four chapters. Okay. Right, two of them are two paragraphs of Shema. Sure. And the other two are two paragraphs from the actual Exodus, about the Bechor, and about Truma and the Bikurim, which is the first fruits. That's all representative of the idea that God killed the firstborn.
How many of the four have to do with Egypt?
All of them. The firstborn only became a significant thing in Judaism because God killed the Egyptian firstborn.
So you're saying two out of the four, not all of them?
No, all four. Yeah. I'm telling you, the firstborn thing is because...
Well, so firstborn...
Yeah.
And
the Shema.
Why Shema?
Because it says that God took us out of Egypt in Shema. And Bikurim and Truma, because any first fruits, any first child, first agriculture, that all became significant because God took the first one. I didn't even stop there. So Shabbos, yeah? And then every single holiday. Do you know why we sit in Sukkos?
Yeah, Sukkos, Pesach, obviously.
Why Sukkos?
Because that's it represents the cloud that protected us.
When?
In the desert.
When we left Egypt. And in fact, the Torah says, why should you sit in Sukkos? Keep a Sukkos hoshavti kitzeis b'nei Israel. He says, when you sat in Sukkos, when you left Egypt. So when we celebrate Sukkos, that's also a remembrance to the Egyptian Exodus. Pesach, the whole Seder is a remembrance to the Exodus.
Pesach,
Shavuos?
It's all connected.
The whole purpose of getting out of Egypt was to receive the Torah. Oh. Everything, from our holidays, to our Shabbos, to our down, to our daily grind of life, is rooted in it's yes, Mitzrayim. So the question the Ramban asked.
Shema before first fruits, and what was the last one?
Two of them are Shema. One's the first paragraph, one's the second paragraph.
Something else.
Those are the four paragraphs. Shema, Shema, first and second paragraph. Then Kaddish Likol Bechor, and Hayaki V'Yachal. Those are the firstborn and the first fruits. Okay. And then there's Sukkos and Shavuos and Pesach, and they're all inherently related to Pesach. So that's what the Ramban says. I'm going to give you a reason for why we have so many mitzvahs. Remember this event.
How do the first fruits relate?
Because the first of anything, the first children we have, the first fruits that we produce, that all gain significance only because God killed their firstborn. So God said, recognize me whenever you have the first of your labor. Don't think that it's only you doing it. Recognize me that I helped you do it.
Let's get to that first.
So what you're really getting at is,
yes.
So when you're sitting at that Pesach Seder, the reason why it's so long. You know what I mean? Like this.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the final over the years.
It's the Super Bowl of the
year. Bringing all the holidays together.
Pesach is the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl of the Jewish calendar.
So why would we not? And the bread thing just throws me off.
The bread thing? What bread? The matzah thing?
Yeah, it just throws me off.
Thank you so much.
So that's what we ate when we left.
Why does that throw you off so much?
Well, the matzah wasn't even like...
Because it's our Super Bowl. It's like, it's our Super Bowl. It should be our Super Bowl. It shouldn't be our matzah bowl.
So you're saying what?
We should live it up. We should be praying for 2 weeks.
But you have to understand that living it up in a Jewish halakhic context...
That's not praying. You know what I'm saying? That's Shavuos for 2 weeks.
It's not a freedom the way you define it. It's a freedom the way God defines it.
So how does God define it?
He defines Pesach by recognizing that it was because of Him that the Geula happened.
So what do we do on Pesach?
Meaning, so it's saying that... Hold on. One second. When the Jews are ready to leave Egypt, right, they're waiting for their matzahs to finish baking, and they're going to bounce. So God says, okay, Jews, time to go. They would have said, no, give us a few minutes for our bread to rise. God said, no, you're on my schedule, you're on my clock, your lives are dedicated to me. You're no longer servants to Paro, you're servants to me. You're going to follow me. So I don't care that your bread's not ready. So the fact that we commemorated that 2,000 years later, eating that bread, is representative of this idea that our redemption is not based on the fact that we're free to do whatever we want. We're real freedom. It's as contradictory as it sounds, is being an Eved to Hashem.
I don't understand.
That's the whole year.
Why is
it crispy now?
The whole year is what?
If Pesach is our Super Bowl, then what do we do on Pesach? To remember what God did other than the Masa.
All the symbols in the city.
We retell the whole story in depth.
Other than the 2 nights. So Pesach should be 2 nights. Why is it so long?
Oh, 1 night.
Because you have to understand that inherent with the Pesach holiday is a trip to Yerushalayim as well.
It should be 1 day.
It's a whole trip to Yerushalayim, a family vacation to Yerushalayim. Hashem doesn't want you to just do the Seder and then go back to your regular life. He wants you to achieve a certain amount of closeness to it.
Is that why we have Chol HaMoed?
Yeah, that's what Chol HaMoed is about. Chol HaMoed is not a day to go to Six Flags, or a day to go ice skating, or a day to whatever you do. There are certain laws and halachos on Chol HaMoed. Not everyone can go to Israel.
Not everyone can go to Israel. That's what I'm saying.
No, but I'm saying it's a
Mikdash. So what are you supposed to do?
It's a Mikdash.
Okay, fine, so how do you correlate that?
So nowadays, when you're supposed to not be working, so you have more time to learn Torah, which is a great way to get close to Hashem. That's the point of having Chol HaMoed.
What is it? Say it again?
Chol HaMoed is a time to desist from your regular work. You're not supposed to do certain things on Chol HaMoed that you can do on a regular day.
Like homework. That was one thing.
For example, you're not allowed to write on Chol HaMoed.
At least as an excuse in college.
You're not allowed to write.
I'm going to be writing on
Chol HaMoed
in college.
Okay, there are certain heterim that allow you to write. We call it Davar HaAvad. I mean, if it's going to cause you a financial loss, then you'd be allowed to write. So college is considered a financial loss. You got to take notes. You got to do well.
Probably won't be your spring break.
No, spring break is
out.
Oh,
okay.
So.
My spring break will be.
So again, let's go back to this. Let's go back to this. The point of Chol HaMoed is to have more time for you to achieve a certain closeness to Hashem, because that's the purpose of the holidays. That's why a holiday is called in the Torah. It's not called a Chag. How's it called? Anyone know? Moed. What's a Moed? Moed literally means not holiday, it means time. A holiday is supposed to be Moed. Yeah. Moed is supposed to be a time where you have time with Hashem. It's a meeting place. Actually, that's what Moed means, not time, but meeting. It's a time for you to meet with the Creator. Meet with the Creator. And when you have time off from work...
That's what you refer to where?
In the whole Torah.
So you never said the word Chag, right?
No, you do see the word Chag. It refers to Chag HaSukos, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaMasos.
So what are you talking about Moed? What is talking about Moed?
Well, for example, all the tractates that discuss the holidays are called Seder Moed.
Yeah, fine, but that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, sure it does. Moed, the whole purpose of Moed is meeting. Go and meet Hashem on this holiday.
It goes through the holiday.
You have time off.
Close to Hashem.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying, well, you're trying to tie into, you're trying to say you're saying Moed Pesach, right? Moed Hashem, whatever. But it doesn't say that with Pesach. Yes, it talks about it in the Gemara called Moed.
So what do you say?
I'm trying to find a reason for your argument. That has to do with Pesach. We're just talking about
Chags
in general.
Chags in general?
All Chags in general, Moed.
So, and Shabbos too.
Shabbos. Yeah. Okay. So, that's what the Ramban's question is. He asks it on all these big, all these events, all these mitzvos, all the chagim. They all relate to mitzvahs. And the reason is why. And he says like this: the hakol.
Rabban asks why they all relate to mitzvahs.
I mean, why do we have so many of them?
Okay, fine.
As we went through, and in the bottom of the paragraph, the hakol liyos lano b'chol hadoros edus v'moftim shelo yishtachu. And the whole point of every single one of these events, these mitzvos, daily or on the holidays, is so that you shall not remember. In all the generations, what went on in Mitzrayim? The lo yiyeh pischon.